Baruch Shem, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. We're actually going to pick up, today's daf is Ayin Beis. We're going to pick up at the Mishnah, Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Sa'id and Sima Haken in honor of the Yomim Noraim and the exclusive Ksiva, the Chasima Tova for all of Klal Yisrael. And also in by Beverly Segal and her mother, Jeanette Goldman. She should live and be well in appreciation to Julian Hammond for blowing the shofar for Jeanette on Rosh Hashanah. Beautiful. All right, so let's begin. Beautiful Gemara ahead of us today, the Mishnah. Ben Sora Rumora Nidon Hashem Sofo. Ben Sora Rumora is executed, is killed because of what he will become. Yomos Zakai Va Yomos Chayiv. Ultimately, again, we prefer to execute him while he is innocent and not wait until he becomes guilty. So again, what the Mishnah Bosai is driving at over here is the idea that Ben Sora Remora, even though what he's done is not appropriate and is not good, does not seem to be an executable offense. So the Gemara is the Mishnah is explaining that we kill him not really based on what he is now, but what we know he will become in the future. Because the death of the righteous, the death of the wicked, is good for the wicked and it's good for the world. In other words, everybody's happy when the wicked die. Right? It's good for the wicked because they can't sin anymore, and it's good for the world because the world does not have to be subject to their evil. So the Gemara says, Letzadikim ralahem ralaholam. The death of the righteous is bad for the righteous and bad for the world. Yain v'shenam, wine and sleep. So hana lahem, the rishaim yain v'shino, the rishaim hana lahem v'hana la'olam. So we'll say, so wine and sleep are good for the wicked and good for the world. In other words, they're good for the wicked because the wicked stay out of trouble when they are inebriated or when they are sleeping, and it's good for the world because there's less evil as well. But let tzadikim ra lahem v'ra la'olam. And for the righteous, wine and sleep are not good for them, right? Because ultimately, again, there's inaction, there's inactivity, and ultimately, again, a lack of tzidkus. Pizur, so we'll say, what about scatter? You know, pizur literally means like dispersion or scattering. L'rishayim hanah lohem v'hanah la'olam. So we'll say, so scattering is good for the wicked, and ultimately, again, it's good for the world because when the Rishayim are not concentrated together, they do less damage. And therefore, again, they don't get themselves into trouble and they don't impact the world as negatively as well. So scattering is not good for the righteous and it's not good for the world because the idea is that the tzaddikim have a greater impact when they are concentrated together. And therefore, they lose out and the world loses out. So the Gemara goes weiter. Kinos, gathering together. The Rishon, Ra, Lahen, Ra, the Olam. So we'll say gathering of Rishon is not good for the wicked, not good for the world. For the Tzadikim, ultimately, again, when they are gathered, it is good for the righteous and it is good for the world. Sheket. So we'll say, what about when there's tranquility? So we'll say tranquility is bad for the wicked, bad for the world. Because when there's tranquility, that gives them the ability to what? To engage in all types of negative behavior. However, but for the righteous, tranquility is good for them and good for the world. Beautiful. It says top of Ayin Beis on the Daleth. Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Lili Imer Omer. V'chibi pnei sha'achol zel tartim arbas v'shasachati lo yaina italki. Amra Torah yeti lebeis in lisakel. So we'll say Rabbi Yosef Lili asks the fundamental question. Tell me, because this boy stole some money, and because this boy went ahead and stole money and used it to purchase meat and purchase wine, and engaged in some gluttonous behavior, we should kill him. In other words, we'll say, remember, he committed an act of theft. Theft is never punishable by death. So why is it that we are dealing with the Ben Sora Umora in such a dramatically intense fashion? Elo, he giya tor l'sof title shel Ben Sora Umora. Rather, again, says the Gemara Rabbi Yosef Lili, so the Ribono shel Olam, fast forwards, he knows how this story ends. He knows what is going to happen with this young man. What's going to happen? Shesof megamer nechase aviv. So what's going to happen? At the end of the day, he's going to burn through his parents' money. And he's going to be accustomed to a gluttonous lifestyle. And now he's not going to have the money to support him. But remember, again, I mentioned this in the shul last night. You know, once you get used to living from theft, once you get used to taking money from people, it's very difficult to get a real job. So therefore, again, Lamaise, at the end of the day, once he's used to supporting himself by theft, when he burns through his parents' money, he's just going to take someone else's money. And what's going to happen? Then he motzi. But here's the problem. Parents' money is much more available than other people's money. So when he can't find other people's money easily, viyotzi the parshas terachim, he's going to go out to the crossroads, umalastim esabrios, and he's going to rob and steal and ultimately kill people. Therefore, again, the Ribono Shel Olam says, Amar Torah, yomos zakai va'al yomos chayiv. Therefore, again, Torah Kedosha says, you know what, better to execute him now while he is still innocent than to wait ultimately again until he becomes guilty, until the mamish does something heinous, and ultimately again brings death upon himself. So the Gemara goes, Vayter, Hana Alohem, Shemisasin Shal Rishayim, because the death of the wicked, Hana Alohem, Vana Alo Olam, is good for the wicked. In other words, the death of the wicked is good for the wicked. Because if the wicked person is dead, he can't cause any more trouble. Vana Alo Olam, and it's good for the world, because the world no longer has to suffer under their evil. Vala Tzadikim, Ra Alohem, Vra Alo Olam. But I will say, now, this price is just going to restate the Mishnah. The death of the righteous is bad for the righteous, and it's bad for the world. Shina V'yayin. What about sleep and wine? L'rishayim ha'na alahem. It's good for the wicked, and it's good for the world. L'tzadikim, ra alahem v'ra la'olam. And for the tzadikim, ultimately, again, it's bad for them and bad for the world. Check it. We'll say, what about tranquility? L'rishayim ra alahem v'ra la'olam. So tranquility is bad for the wicked, bad for the world. V'latzadikim ha'na alahem v'ha'na la'olam. But for tzadikim, ultimately, again, when they have tranquility, we'll say it's an incredible yisod. So part of the difference in the tzaddik and a rasha is how they use the tranquil periods of life. So rasha will ultimately use his tranquility to further his rishus. A tzaddik will use his tranquility to further his tzidkus. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, the Braisa says, tranquility is bad for the wicked because they continue to be wicked, and therefore by extension it's bad for the world. But it's good for the righteous, and by extension, ultimately, good for the world. So the Gemara goes, V'anal tzadikim pizur, l'sham anal v'anal olam, v'anal tzadikim ra l'ham v'ra l'olam. What's about pizur? So pizur means scattering. It's scattering. In other words, where the group is not together. So pizur is good for the wicked because when they're not together, they cause less trouble. And therefore, by extension, it's good for the world. Masha'inkim, the righteous, there's a benefit to the righteous when they are gathered together, and by extension, there's a benefit to the world. Good. Says the Mishnah. Habama Machteras. So we'll say we're switching gears a little bit. Habama Machteras means, literally, it means someone who tunnels in. What it refers to is someone who steals covertly. So someone who breaks into someone's home in a covert, secretive way. Whether it's tunneling, we're going to see it doesn't literally just have to mean tunneling. But the idea is, as opposed to, let's say, an armed bandit who will steal in the middle of the day. So Baba Machteres is someone who comes secretly to try to steal from another. But again, the literal Lashon is tunneling into someone's home. Baba Machteres, Nidon Hashem Sofo. So we'll say the Baba Machteres ultimately again is judged. Nidon Mishum Sofo means he's judged now based on what we know he stands ready to do. Now again, what we're going to see that means, we'll say, is the following. That we assume that if somebody is coming to secretly steal from someone else, that means that what? They mean business, and they're ready to kill even if they need to do so. In order to be able to steal a particular item. Therefore, again, because of the Baal Machteres is ready to kill, therefore what? I, as we'll call it, as the homeowner, have the right to what? To kill them first. Okay? So, how you Baal Machteres, B'Shavra Sachav, it's an interesting case. So, let's say somebody was breaking into someone's home, covertly, right, tunneling in, and what happens? In the course of trying to steal something, they break something, literally they break a barrel. So what the shayla is, are they chayiv for the barrel or not? So the Gemara says it depends. Im yesh lo damim, chayiv. So we'll say yesh lo damim means, if there is no license for the householder to kill the ganav. And again, we'll discuss, sometimes there's a license to kill, sometimes there's not a license to kill. So if lamaisa, there's a license, if there, yesh lo damim means, literally there's blood on his head, which means he can't kill the ganav, then chayiv. Then the ganav will be chayiv for the breakage of the barrel. Imein lo damim, however, again, if at the end of the day there would be no responsibility from the householder, if the householder will to kill the ganav, then what? Patzer. Then ultimately, again, the ganav will be patzer for the breakage of the barrel. What's going on over here? Amar Rava. Rava says, my time d'machteres. So we'll say, why is it that the Mishnah says that if somebody's tunneling into my home, breaking into my home secretly, in order to go ahead and steal from me, that I'm allowed to kill them? So the Gemara says, my time d'machteres, chazaka, ein adam ma'amid atzmo al mamono. So we'll say the chazaka is that most people aren't just going to let you take their stuff. That's the assumption, that people are protective of their possessions. Behind me, Mar Amar, and this guy says, meaning the thief says, So the thief knows, therefore, that since most people will not just let a thief take their possessions, since most people stand up to protect their possessions, so the thief knows that if the owner encounters me, he's going to stand up to me and not let me take him his stuff. And therefore the thief says, if the householder is there and stands up to me, I stand ready to what? I stand ready to kill him. So therefore I will say, we assume that this individual therefore is not just what? Not just the thief, but he is a potential murderer, and therefore again, one is permitted to proactively kill him first. The Torah Amra, Hashkim Hargon. The Torah Kedosha tells us the principle that if someone comes to kill you, you have the license to kill them first. Amrav, so Rav said the following. Habo Machteres, V'natal Kelim, V'yatza Pater. Both said, this is actually a very interesting case. Rav says, listen to this case. Someone breaks into my home, and then what? They steal my object. They steal my Kiddush cup, and then what happens? So Rav says the halacha is that the thief is potter. Now, if you look at Rashi, it's almost right across in Rashi. If you go across to the right, about five lines down, Rashi is potter. Melahach zirim afa pishein kayamin. Now Rav is saying the following. We'll call him Ruben breaks into my home, he tunnels into my house, and he steals my Kiddush cup, and he makes it out alive. I don't even know about it. I find out the next morning. So Rav says that Reuven does not have to return the Kiddush cup. He's potter. So what's the logic? My time, Bedamim kananu. Literally, he has acquired it with his life. We'll say, now what does that mean? So this seems to be almost like an application of like a Kimlein B'Durabimine type of idea. That since Reuven was technically Chayiv Misa, he's Chayiv Misa. In other words, what does that mean? If I woke up and I found him breaking into my house, I could kill him. I have the right to kill him. So therefore, what do both say? So therefore, again, because I have the right to kill him, because he was Chayiv Misa, so he's Pater on Mammon. It's the same way that if someone performs an act which generates dual liability, one a death sentence and one a financial liability, the halacha is we give him the more severe penalty of death, and he's exempt for any financial obligations he may have. So Rav is seemingly applying that same concept over here as well. When Reuven tunnels into my house, he's Chayiv Misa. I wake up in the middle of the night, I have to kill him. I just going to say, by the way, is this for, I don't have to ask questions. I don't have to say, tell me, what are your intentions? Right? What's going on with you? Like, what are you doing here, friend or foe? No, somebody's going ahead, right? And breaking into my home in the middle of the night. I'd like to kill them. That's halacha, because I make an automatic assumption that he would be ready to kill me. So Rav says, because he's Chayiv Misa, therefore, technically speaking, he's Pater on Mammon, and he doesn't have to return any of the objects he stole. Amar Rava, so this is Rav. So Rav says, Mistabra Mil Seydi Rav, Bishashibar Delesnu. So Rav says, this seems to make sense in a case where the stolen object is no longer in existence. Rav stole the Kiddush cup, and let's say it was a glass one, and it broke. The object is no longer in existence. Therefore, according to Rav, the thief doesn't have to return it. Aval not lo. But if the thief stole the object, and the object is what? Still in existence, then of course he has to return it. So the Gemara says, Ba'elokim, but by God, right? By God. Meaning that doesn't make any sense. Amar Rav afilu not, that's not what Rav said. The Gemara says, Rav, I hear what you're saying, but that's not what Rav said. Rav said, even if the object is still in existence, the thief is under no obligation to return it. So the Gemara says, Da yesh lo damim. So also because at the end of the day, since the thief is liable to death, so because he's liable to death, we exempt him ultimately again for the financial responsibility. So the Gemara says, V'nansu chayiv. But yet, interestingly enough, what were to happen, let's say, if something were to happen to the object while it was in the possession of the thief, we know the halacha is that he's chayiv, that the thief would be chayiv for any kind of damages to the object. What do you see from that? Alma birshusei kaimin. So we'll say, in general, when someone steals something, they're chayiv for own sin. So what do you see from that? You see that the object is considered to be in the domain of the thief. Hachanami. So we'll say, that's a normal case of theft. In a normal case, there was that's not Baba Machteres. Right, someone pickpockets me. So Lemaisa, there's no chi of Misa for the thief under that circumstance. But yet, if something happens to the object while it is in his domain, he is chayiv. So what do you see from there? You see from there that a thief acquires an object. So the Gemara says, Hachinami b'shusei kaimi. Therefore, again, in this case over here, when the thief, now this case, Baba Machteres, where the thief is chayiv nisa, he acquires the object. Rav says, but since he's chayiv nisa, he doesn't have to pay it back. So the Gemara says, v'lohi. That's not a good comparison. Kiyokim the Rachmana b'Rishus say, when does the Torah say that the object remains in the Rishus of the thief? Le'inyon onsin. Rav says, that's by onsin. Aval le'inyon mikna. But Rav says, ultimately, again, in terms of who owns it, who acquires it, b'Rishus say demarayhu kaimi. The object remains in the Rishus of its owner. Midi dehava ashoal. It should be ultimately, again, no different than the case of Shoal. So we'll say, the Gemara has not been able to prove Rav's statement. So where are we holding right now? We have a statement of Rav, we'll say a very strange, enigmatic statement, where Rav is saying that if the Baba Machteres goes ahead and steals an object, he makes it out of my house with an object, then what's the halacha? He is under no obligation to return that object. What's the reason for that? Essentially, again, since he's chayiv misa, he's pater on mamon. He's chayiv misa, therefore pater on mamon, therefore he can keep the kiddush cup. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, if the person, right, Reuven breaks into my home, he tunnels into the home, and in the course of doing so, he breaks my barrel, so he causes financial damage. So what's the halacha? Is he chayiv? Says, it depends. Yesh lo tamim, if I don't have a license to kill him, chayiv, then ultimately, again, he'll be chayiv for the damages. In lo damim potter, but again, if I can kill him, then ultimately again he's potter. Taima deshiber. So I said the only reason why we're discussing liability over here is because the ganav broke the barrel. Dechi ein lo damim potter. That in that case over there, I will say where I have ultimately again I'm permitted to kill him, then he's going to be potter on the damages. Hanatal. But what do you see from here? That if you were to take the object, lo, then ultimately again there would be no liability for him to return it. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, you can't. That's not a valid inference. Lo, who adin da'afilu natal nami. Even if he took the object, he would be chayiv to return it. V'hadik tani shavra sechavis. And that which the Mishnah set it up as a case of where the ganav broke the barrel was why. So the Gemara says, Hadik tani shavar eschavis kamash malon tichiyesh lo damim. Then Rabbi say, ultimately, again, when the owner homeowner has no right to kill the thief." I'm sorry. Hakasha the Chiyesh Lodamim, Afagav the Shiber Nami Chayiv. The Rebbe will say, ultimately, again, in a case where Lemaisa, the homeowner, does not have a right to kill the thief, even though the thief broke the barrel, he's going to be Chayiv. To which the Gemara says, Pshita. That comes to teach us. I'm sorry. Hakamashu Alon, the Afilu Shelo Bekavana. So we'll say, ultimately, again, what does this teach us? This teaches us. So ultimately, again, this teaches us that Lamaisa, even without intent to break the barrel, the thief will be chayiv. To which the Gemara says, well, what's the chiddush over here? My kamash malon, Adam muad liolam. They will say, again, so what's the novelty here? We already know, Adam muad liolam, a person is always liable and responsible for all damages that occur. To which the Gemara says, Tanina, because we learned this, Adam muad liolam, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein ba'onis, bein b'ratzon. So we already learned that a person ultimately, again, is responsible for any type of damage that they perform. To which the Gemara says, Enochinami, Kasha. So Master Rav Bibi Barabai, so Rabbi Barabai raised the Kasha. Hagone kis b'shabes chayiv. We'll say if a person steals a purse of money on Shabbos, they are chayiv. Why? Shaharin is chayiv. So we'll say, now what are we talking about over here? Now in the case of where you steal a purse of money, as we're going to see, there are two liabilities. Number one, there's an act of theft. But we'll say, so we're going, well, okay, we'll discuss when you're chayiv for one. There's an act of theft. And remember, there's also an act of hotzah, of taking an object out from one rishus to another. Now the act of theft is a lav. The act of hotzah is a chayiv misa. Transferring an object from one rishus to another rishus on Shabbos is a chayiv skila. So what happens if a person steals something on Shabbos? So chayiv. So we'll say he is going to be chayiv for the act of theft. What about kimlein b'derab minei? Right. What about the fact that when you engage in an act that generates two forms of liability, you're only given the capital liability, not the financial one. So the Gemara Sharin is chayiv b'kneva kodem shavolei de iser Shabbos. Because we'll say the case over here is. Only time we say kimlein b'derab minei is when what? We'll say is when there's simultaneity. But over here there's no simultaneity. Why? Because we'll say you're chayiv for the theft when? When? As soon as you lift up the object. You're not chayiv for the chil Shabbos until when? Until when? Until ultimately, again, you carry it out. To which the Gemara Shari Nis chayiv b'kneva kodem shiyavo lidei iser Shabbos. Hayya megarer v'yotzei. Because listen to this. Let's say it's like a money purse, and you were dragging the money purse. So we'll say, in this case over here, there was no hagbah. So because there's no hagbah, when do you become a thief? When is the act of theft considered to have occurred? When you remove it from the reshus of the owner. In which case now there's what? There's simultaneity. Because at the end of the day, the act of theft as well as the act of transfer are occurring at the same time. Shari iser gneva ve iser skila bain keachad. Vehilchasa. And Rabbi say, what's the case? Vehilchasa. Now, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's five lines up from the bottom. Vehilchasa. Hai diktani potter. Kegon dishadinu benarad delesu. Rabbi say, when do we say? Now, the Gemara says, when is Rav's statement true? Now, remember again, Rav said that if the Baba Machteras steals something, he is not obligated to return it to me. Now again, Rav's logic seems to be because why? Since the Baba Machteres is Chayiv Misa, therefore he's Pater on the Mammon. So the Gemara says, when is that statement true? Behochasa, Dishadinu Benara. That's true when the thief threw the object in the water. Which means what's Rabbi Osai? The object is no longer in existence. The object is no longer in existence. Rava Ignavu Le Dichri B'machtarta. So what's the Gemara tells him? Maisa. Rava went ahead and had certain rams stolen from him. And the one was Bab Machtara. Somebody came at night, stole the rams. Adrinu Nihile, Velo Kablinu. Let's listen to this. So the thief came back, wanted to do tshuva, and wanted to return the rams. Velo Kablinu. And Rava would not accept the rams. Why wouldn't he accept the rams? Amar, Hoil Venafik Mipumei Durav. Since my Rebbe Rav said something, I can't go against his word. As well as it's amazing. So Rav is the one who was on record as saying that's what? That when the Bab Machteres steals something, he is not obligated to return it. Now Rav even seems to hold that what? Even if the object is in existence. The Gemara qualifies that ruling and says, the only time that the Baba Machteres is not obligated to return the object is when the object is no longer in existence. Rava says, I have to go by the ruling of my Rebbe. My Rebbe said that I can't return the object, that the Ganav is not obligated to return the object, therefore again, I will not accept it back from the Ganav. I will say, now this is an interesting application because even Rav who says that the Ganav is not obligated to do so, I don't know if he says that, I don't know if it means that the Ganav is not permitted to do so, but nevertheless, Rava wanted to accept the pure ruling of his Rebbe. Tan Rabbanan, Ein lo damim im zarcha Hashem ashalav. So Rabbi say, the Pasuk says that Ein lo damim, meaning Ein lo damim, Rabbi say, means that the owner has no right to kill the Ganav, im zarcha Hashem ashalav, if the sun shines upon him. Now, that's actually two different psukim that the Gemara is splicing together. So what does this mean? V'chi Hashem ashalav bilvad zarcha, does the sun only rise, does the sun only shine upon this Ganav? What does that mean? Elo, im bar lucha davar kishemesh she'en lo shalom imcha, rather says the Gemara, talking to the householder, if it is as clear to you, as the rays of the sun, she'ein lo shalom imcha, that this guy, this Baba Machteres, this Ganav, does not have shalom with you, meaning that he's going to kill you, hargehu, you can kill him, ve'im lav, al targehu. So we'll say, what the Gemara is saying over here is the following. If you know with absolute certainty that this thief would be ready to kill you, then you could kill him first. But if you don't know that with absolute certainty, then what? You may not proactively kill him. Tanya, the Chabos, you have another braisa. Imzar chalav Hashemesh damim lo. So I'll say ultimately again, if the sun is shining upon him, so damim lo bosa means that ultimately there is no responsibility for I could kill him. So the Gemara says, v'chi Hashem shalav bilva zarcha, does the sun only shine upon this person? Elo imbar lecha keshemesh shiyesh lo shalom imcha al targeu. Well, so this is a reverse reading. So the Gemara says, if it is as clear to you as the rays of the sun that this guy means you no harm, then what? Then don't kill him. Ve'imlav, we'll say, if you're not sure, hargeu, kill him. Or we'll say, now the Gemara says, kasha stama stama. So we'll say, so by the way, this is a pretty big contradiction. Because according to the first braisa, the householder only has the right to kill the ganav if when? If it's unequivocally clear that he's ready to kill you. But if you have any doubt, you can't kill him. According to the second braisa, the only time you can't kill him is if it's unequivocally clear that he's not going to kill you. But in any case where it's not unequivocally clear that he's not going to kill, that he's not going to kill you, you could kill him. So what's going on over here? Lokasha, to which the Gemara says not a contradiction. Amadeis, kan ba'av al ha'ben, kan ba'ben al ha'av. To which the Gemara Rabbo say that it's not a contradiction. The case Rabbo say where you can't kill unless, of course, it's absolutely certain that the thief is going to kill you is a case of where a father is breaking into a son's home. Rabbo say the assumption is that a father is not going to kill his child. Even though he's going to steal from him, even though he's going to mistreat him, even though he's going to hurt him, he's not going to kill him. So if the father's breaking into the home, if unless, of course, the son knows with absolute certainty that the father is going to kill him, the father stands ready to kill him, the son cannot kill his father. Kan the ben ala ha'av. But I will say, a son will kill his father for money. Meaning, so the idea over here is, the Gemara says, so when the Braisa says that you can't kill him unless, of course, it's absolutely clear that he's going to kill you, that's talking about a father breaking into a son's home. When the Braisa says you can kill him as long as it's absolutely clear that he's not going to kill you, it's talking about a case of a son who's breaking into the father's home. Amar Rav, Rav says, this is an interesting case, an interesting statement. Rav says, called the Asyalai Machteres Katlin Alei. Let me tell you something, says Rav. Whoever breaks into my home, I'm going to kill him. Right? I mean, whoever tunnels into my home, I'm going to kill him. Lebar me Rav Chanina Bar Shila. Except if Rav Chanina Bar Shila breaks into my home, I won't kill him. So the Gemara says, my time up. Well, what's the reason for that? Listen to this. Ilema Mishum De Tzadiku. If you want to say because Rav Chanina Bar Shila is a tzaddik, well, Haka Asi B'Machteres, that wouldn't exactly hold up if Rav Chanina Bar Shila is breaking into someone's home. He would have seemed to have abdicated his role or his status as a tzaddik. Ella Mishum Dekimle Begavei D'Merachim Alei Kerachim Av Al Haben. Rather, again, says the Gemara so beautifully, that what Rav was saying is, I know that Rav Chanina Bar Shila loves me like a father loves a son. So essentially what he was saying is, no one in this world loves me like Rav Chanina Bar Shila. So if anyone else breaks into my home, I'm going to kill them, because at the end of the day, I have to assume they would stand ready to kill me. If Rav Chanina Bar Shila were to break in my home, who I know loves me like a father, then let me say again, I would not kill him. Tan Rabbanan, Damim Lo. So both say the halacha is, right, damim lo, that ultimately, again, one would be permitted to go ahead and kill the particular individual. So remember, again, the way we're dashing these drushes of damim lo and ein lo damim. Damim lo, ein lo damim means you can't kill him. Damim lo means you can kill him. So damim lo, bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. So ein lo damim, bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. We'll say the pasuk says damim lo, which tells me that I have a license to kill. That's true during the week and during Shabbos. Ain lo damim, no license to kill. That's during the week and during Shabbos as well. Bishlama ain lo damim bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. So I understand the drush of ain lo damim, it applies during the weekend on Shabbos. It's just sound right, chamino, because I would have thought the following, midi dahava aharuge beizdin. So I would have said maybe that's like a case of like execution by beizdin. Then what's the halacha? The b'shabbos lo katlinon. The Rabbos say, on Shabbos, we know Beis Din does not execute people on Shabbos. Kamash molon de katlinon. Therefore, Rabbos say again, in the case of Ein Lo Damim, the Gemara says that Lamaisef, at the end of the day, that halacha Lamaisef, again, I have a license to kill, I could kill him even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Kamash molon de katlinon, El Damim lo b'chol. Excuse me, Elo Damim lo, Bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. Rabbos say, first, why lying? I am Beis Din days. But what do we do with the drush of damim lo? What does that mean? Bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. Hashta b'chol lo katlinon le. So bosai, I'm sorry, I reversed it, by the way. Damim lo bosai means that you can't kill him. Ein lo damim means you can kill him. So the Gemara says, hashta b'chol lo katlinon le b'shabbos mi b'ayit. So bosai, if I can't kill him during the week, of course, meaning if I don't have a license to kill during the week, of course I don't have a license to kill on Shabbos as well. Amar Rav Sheshes lo nitzricha elo lefakeach alav es hagal. Rabbi said, this is amazing. Rav Sheshes says, no, what is it coming to teach Rabbi? So listen to this case. So even in a case where ultimately, again, what about the following case? The guy's tunneling in, and let's say, Rabbi said, the tunnel collapses on the Ganav. The tunnel collapses on the Ganav on Shabbos. Am I permitted to remove the rubble in order to save the thief? So Rashi says, over here, Rabbi said, it's right across in Rashi, lefakeach alav es hagal, im kishay choter, if as the thief was tunneling in, nafal alav es hagal, the tunnel collapsed on him, and there's rubble on top of him, mefakchin alav, heichad delo ba'al iski nefashos. I will say, if he's coming, and it's clear that he's coming in a way where he's not going to kill me, so Lemaisa, again, when the tunnel collapses on him, I have the right to save him. I have the right to remove the rubble even on Shabbos. Aval im ba iskin nefashos. But if he came standing ready to kill me, keban denitam laharga b'lo hasra, gavra katilu mishastira. We will say that at the end of the day, halacha lemaisa again, he comes to kill me. Therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, if the tunnel were to collapse on him, I would have no right to go out and be machal Shabbos and remove the rubble from him. We will say that obviously these cases presuppose that we know the absolute intentions of the individual. Tan Rabbanan, v'huka b'chol adam umeis. So we'll say again, the pasuk says that again, in b'machteres imasi agana v'huka v'meis ein lo dam. So we'll say, remember again, the thief tunnels in v'meis, I have the right to kill him. So the Gemara says umeis b'chol misa sha'atu yachol hamiso. We'll say, if somebody's tunneling into my home, and assuming again that I know circumstantially the person stands ready to kill me, I could kill them with any means at my disposal. Yeah. Any way I could kill them. B'shlam v'huka b'chol adam itzterich. So we'll say, ultimately, again, I understand. I look at Rashi just a moment. V'huka b'chol adam, afilu eino bala mamon mutar lahargo midlok sidi karnavos. And I watch this. So there's two things that this teaches me. Number one, b'chol misa shati yachol amiso. So the Gemara teaches me. Number one, I read that wrong. Ten rabbana v'huka b'chol adam. So we'll say two drushas over here. Drusha number one is that when someone's tunneling into my home, so not only am I the balabas permitted to kill them, but what? If someone else sees this unfolding, my neighbor sees that someone is tunneling into my home, my neighbor has the right to kill that guy also. That's number one. Number two, umeis b'chol misa sha'ata yachol lahamiso. And you can kill him any way you need to. Okay. So bishlam avahuka b'chol adam. So we'll say, I understand the drasha v'huka that anyone is permitted to kill the ganav. Because we'll say again, now it makes sense also because remember, we're assuming the Bav Machteris is what? He is a rodef. He's a murderer. So because that anyone has the right to eliminate the threat. But it's the Sagadait Khamina, Balabayis Hudikim Luhu, the Ain Adam Ma'amid Atzmo Amamono of Akhralo. So we'll say, I might have thought that by Bab Machteres, it's only the Balabas who has the right to kill the Ganav. Why? Because it's only the Balabas to whom the Ganav poses a threat. Because remember, it's only if the Ganav comes in, wants to take the object of Balabayis, stands up for his property, that the Ganav stands ready to kill the Balabayis. So he's only the Balabayis who has a license to kill, but other people do not. Kamashmulo, no. Derodefu, va'afilu acharnami. Therefore, again, I both say, the Bav Machteres has the din of a rodef, of a murderer, and therefore what? And therefore others have the right to kill him as well. Ela v'meis v'chol misa sha'ata yachol hamiso lamali. So at the end of the day, why don't I need the drasha of umeis? Umeis tells me that I could kill the Bav Machteres any way that I want to. Why do I need that drasha? To which the Gemara says, mirotzeach nafka, I can learn out from rotzeach. Where are they not from Rotzeach? The Sanya. Mos Yumas Hamake. Rotzeachu. We'll say the Pasuk says, you shall put to death the Make, the one who hits, the one who strikes the other. He's Rotzeach, he's a murderer. Ainli Elabamisa Murabob. So we'll say, I only know that you could kill him, you can execute him with the specific Misa that the Torah lays down for him. We'll say, how do I know? It's actually an interesting statement. Let's say somebody is chayv a particular misa's beizdin. But for whatever reason, beizdin, bless you, beizdin can't administer that particular type of misa. Someone's chayv skila, but there are no stones. Right? So how do I know? Well, there's no ledge. How do I know that lamaisa we could kill him some other way? Tamud lomar, mos yumas mikol makom. So I'll say, the pasuk says, mos yumas, that you can execute him any way you need to, mikol makom, which tells me that what? Which tells me that lemaisa, again, when, even when the particular death penalty is not available, you can kill him any way you want. Shiny hasam, damar kras, in that case is different, right? Because the pasuk says mos yumas. Because we'll say the Torah uses the double lashon of mos yumas. So why don't I learn out from here, I both say a paradigm, that even when someone has a specific misa that they're supposed to execute them, if for some reason I can't carry out that death penalty, I can kill him however I want. So the Gemara says, Mishum da habarotech v'gol adam shnei ksuvin abayin ke'achad. Because we'll say, the Torah teaches me this principle in two places. Number one, by rotzeach. Number two, by gol adam. And I would have said, v'chol shnei ksuvin abayin ke'achad in melam. They're both saying, so rotzeach and gol adam are two examples where even though, again, the person may have a specific death penalty, but they are permitted to kill the guilty party any way they want. So why don't they say that teaches me that whenever I have a case of someone who's liable to death, I can kill them however I want, to which the Gemara says, because there are two psukim that teach me the same principle. And when we have two psukim that teach me the same principle, sometimes we say, ein melandin, that you can't learn out a principle from that. Tanu Rabbanan, machteres, ein li ela machteres. So we'll say furthermore again, Bryce says, machteres, I only know that the thief is liable to death when he's tunneling in. Gago chatsero v'kafifo minayin. I will say, what happens if he's not tunneling? Let's say he just walks in. But he's coming in a way, he's coming in under the veil of secrecy. He comes in through my garden, right? He comes in through my chatsa, through my roof. Talmud lomar, yimotze haganav mikol makom. I will say, the pasuk says that if the thief will be found, imkein, which means however he's found, whether he tunnels, whether he walks, whatever he does. Imkein matam lor machteres. If that's the case, then why does the Torah use lashon of machteres of tunneling? Mepnei sharov ganavim mitzuyim machteres. Because I will say, ultimately, again, the majority of thieves tunnel in. Tanya idach, we have a braisa that says machteres in machteres. So again, when it says the Torah says he's coming in machteres, elmi no machteres. Gago chatzero bekarfifo minayim. They both say, how do I know that if he's coming in again through the roof, through the chatzah, through the karfif, how do I know that I could kill him as well? Talmud lomar yimotze haganav mikol makom. Therefore, again, the pasuk says that however the thief is found. In other words, they both say, machteres is just the example for how the thief is coming in. But lamais at the end of the day, however he makes it into my home, I could kill him. Imke matalor machteres. Ultimately, again, so why does the Torah say machteres? And I will say, with this will end. Machtereso zuhi hasra aso. Because we'll say, what it's telling me is that what? Is that machtereso zuhi hasra aso. We'll say a very important principle. Take a look at Rashi. It's the first wide line in Rashi. Zuhi hasra aso. She'in tzarech hasra acheres. Then I will say, when a thief comes, the machteres, when a thief comes secretly, ultimately, again, to try to steal from me, he does not require hasra before I have the right to kill him. Ela hargo miyad. Rather, again, I have the right to kill him immediately. Dechevan det, I'm reading Rashi. Dechevan detaruchu masra nafshe lachtor adaita dahaki asa. Because it will say, the fact that he's breaking in secretly means what? Means what? That he knows that lemaisa, again, what he's doing is something quite significant. He knows, I will say, that it's to kill or to be killed. I will say, ultimately, again, if he comes in, now again, just to be clear, if he comes in with machteres, it's clear that he knows that he's taking his own life in his own hands, and therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, he does not require hasra. Rashi says, "Aval michnas lichatseira v'gago derech haPesach." Eino hargo ad sheyisru bo beedim chazi tekaim na ba'apcha bekatlino lecha v'zei kaba alaf asra v'yomer adiani. So as we'll see, and we'll continue this gemara tomorrow, but as we'll see in Mirtz Hashem, that this is only true when he tunnels in. However, if he breaks in other more public ways, he may in fact require some degree of hasra before the householder has the right to kill him. Mirtz Hashem will stop over here and continue tomorrow. We'll see.
So you need the right to kill him, and that means the base.
Correct.
Not for his life.